Given the length of the announcements and the fact that we have a high mass, I will keep my comments very brief today. In the first reading, St. Paul tells us that we are to be renewed in the spirit of our minds, and that we are to put on the new man, which is created according to God in justice and in holiness of truth. Truth is what we were created for. Truth is exactly what the church is to be presenting to us. And if you have been following the events in the news the last week, you will know that five cardinals put forth some new dubia back a couple of months ago. Dubia normally would be answered either yes or no, but instead of that, the Holy See decided to write about a page on each one of the dubia with all kinds of sophistry and all kinds of cute nonsense. And ultimately what it does is to deny the truth. And it opens up the way for these people who have gathered over there for this synod to be able to say to them, all this is wide open for discussion. There is nothing off the table. Anything is fine. So we first need to be clear about a couple of practical points. Number one, the truth is the truth, and there is no one on the face of the earth who has the power to change the truth. 2 + 2 is going to be 4, and it doesn't matter what kind of games you want to play with it, 2 + 2 is always going to be 4. The truth remains the truth. And so when we come up with our wonderful ideas like, well, but that was a couple of thousand years ago and we live in this enlightened age, the truth hasn't changed. The truth cannot change. On top of that, within the church, there is no one who has the authority to change the teaching of the church. There are some things that are being worked out in the church, and that's fine. That can be discussed and that can be worked through. But when there is something that the church teaches clearly, and especially when there is something that our blessed Lord has taught us and is very clear in sacred scripture, absolutely no one has the authority to change anything. So as I have many times said, I don't care what color cassock somebody wears, if it's the black of a priest, the purple of a bishop, the red of a cardinal, or the white of a pope, no one has the authority or the ability to change the teaching of Jesus Christ or of his church, period. Now that becomes very important because we have just been told that, well, maybe there's a way that we can bless same-sex unions. We won't call them a marriage, but, you know, we can bless this. No, we cannot. We cannot for several reasons. First of all, it's not a union. Secondly, it's mortal sin. And then they're going to say, well, maybe there's a way that if somebody's divorced and civilly remarried without an annulment, they can receive Holy Communion. We saw that in the gospel today. There was somebody who came to the wedding feast that wasn't properly dressed. In other words, not in the state of grace. No, you cannot receive Holy Communion if you're in the state of mortal sin. And they'll say, well, but that's not being very pastoral or compassionate. Let me make it very clear. Let's just remove the fact of the adultery for the moment. Let's say that there is a couple who gets married, at least one of them is a baptized Catholic. They go to the judge to get married. Neither one has been married before. They go to the judge to get married. That is not a sacramental marriage. It is a mortal sin. Now you throw the fact in that somebody is already married and now they want to go to a judge and say that now we're married because the judge said we're married, so now we can receive Holy Communion. No, you can't. It's a mortal sin. And then it'd be a sacrilege to try and receive Holy Communion. And then they want to say that, well, maybe women can be ordained deacons. No, they can't. It is actually part of the essence of the sacrament of holy orders to be male. That'd be like saying, well, maybe if we change the essence of Holy Communion, maybe we could make rice cakes instead of having to have wheat. We can use rice cakes. No, you can't. You have to have wheat. The same is true with holy orders. You have to be a male. You can't ordain women. My favorite quote about that. Again, they're not talking about making women priests at this time. They're just trying to say they would be ordained deacons. But Mother Teresa is the one who famously said, there is only one person, human person, in the history of humanity who was worthy to be a priest. And she remained the humble handmaiden of the Lord. Our Lady could receive the Lord Jesus in her womb and give birth to him and bring him forward to save the world, but she could not consecrate bread and wine into the very Son whom she herself had given birth to. She had to receive Holy Communion from the hand of one of the apostles, because even though she gave him to the apostles, she was now dependent on them to be able to receive her own Son. So no, these are things that cannot change. No matter how Jesuitical you want to get with it, it doesn't work. It cannot work because the truth cannot change. And I just want to leave you with something that I read earlier this week. I was looking something up for a talk that I have to give and found this. This is from the Apparitions of Our Lady of Good Success in Quito, Ecuador, about 400 years ago. And Our Lady specifically said to Mother Mariana that these are for the 20th century, the end of the 20th century, the beginning of the 21st. So here we are. What did she say? Among other things, as for the sacrament of matrimony, which symbolizes the union of Christ with his church, it will be attacked and profaned in the fullest sense of the word. Masonry will then be in power, will enact iniquitous laws, with the objective of doing away with the sacrament. This will make it easy for everyone to live in sin. There we are. She goes on to say that the Christian spirit will rapidly decay and the precious light of the faith will gradually be extinguished until it reaches the point that there will be an almost total and general corruption of customs. The effect of secular education will increase, which will be one reason for the dearth of priestly and religious vocations. The sacrament of holy orders will be ridiculed, oppressed, and despised. The demon will try to persecute the ministers of the Lord in every way possible. He will labor with cruel and subtle astuteness to deviate them from the spirit of their vocation and will corrupt many of them. These depraved priests who will scandalize the Christian people will incite the hatred of the bad Christians and the enemies of the Roman Catholic and Apostolic Church to fall upon all priests. This apparent triumph of Satan will bring enormous sufferings upon good pastors of the church. Moreover, in these unhappy times, there will be unbridled luxury, which, acting thus to ensure the rest into sin, will conquer innumerable frivolous souls who will be lost. Innocence will be almost no longer be found in children, nor modesty in women. In this supreme moment of need of the church, those who should speak will fall silent. Our Lady told us that 400 years ago, and here we are. She reminded Sister Lucia from Fatima that the final battle between God and Satan is going to be over marriage and the family. And so here we see happened in Germany, and now they're trying to go push the same thing with this new synod from Rome, and we see it from the highest levels of the church, an attempt to change this sacred reality of marriage, which God gave us from the first page of the Bible, which Jesus himself reiterated, and which the church has always upheld. It cannot change. it will not change, no matter how much they try, because no one, absolutely no one on the face of this earth, in this church, has the authority to change the truth.